Blog Talk Radio.
Chef Rob here, Blog Talk Radio. We want to go ahead and talk about a few things, Station, but what can each one of us do to make it despite all these oppositions out here? How far can we go? What is it that we need to do? Where do we start? Where do you start to go ahead and build your own nation? When and how? Biggest question is, what is everybody's role in this whole thing? Got Brother AC on the line. Brother Covina, man, how y'all doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
Right, right. AC, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Brother Rochef. I'm here.
What do y'all think about that? What each one of us can do to make it out here?
Go ahead, bro. The easiest perspective to look at the situation from is, you know, the individual person. Each one has to develop, you know, their own voice, their own entity, their own concept as to what it is they can, you know, bring to the table. And once they've accomplished that, you know, it's all about the networking, the marketing, you know, to bring other people on board, to introduce it to other people. I mean, just the typical means you go about to start a business, basically, to accomplish anything. It's just a matter of you have a problem, and there are certain steps you have to take to resolve the issue. And in this case, we're talking about, you know, financial well-being. Of course, you know, everybody's out there doing the same thing, so, you know, you have to bring some unique perspective to every situation, but, you know, everyone is an individual, so everyone has their own uniqueness. So that really doesn't create a problem. What creates the problem is, you know, when it comes to the hard work. I mean, the most accurate analogy you could come up with is, you know, you're having a child. This is a child. And everything that occurs when you first have a child occurs when you're trying to, you know, get this thing going, start this concept, open your business, as it will. You know, you have to put in hours that you don't necessarily want to put into it, the work and everything. And when it gets sick, you have to, you know, drop everything and take care of it. And, of course, you know, if you have any kind of, you know, association outside the business, that those situations are going to suffer, i.e. family, what have you, you know, those. But in order to get this baby to health, then this is what you have to do. Well, it's pretty cut and dry, but like I said, everybody's doing it.
Yeah, I see you on that. This comes in a minute. And I was just trying to add, too, that in a concept with whole like nation building towards, you know, people working together, I think one of the bigger problems is that, you know, if I was following that analogy, that there's only one king in the castle when you're raising that kid. But, you know, when you're trying to put together a nation, you're going to have a whole lot of people bumping in. So I think that's where we find ourselves in. You got so many people with so many different concepts, and a lot of concepts are bumping heads with other people. You know, but, you know, as far as, like, putting, like, what can people do, I look at it like, you know, everybody have their interests and their expertise, and they got their strength areas and they have their weaknesses. And when you start to do something, everyone needs to focus on their strengths. And right, so like when I hear people who want to do a business proposition, let's say brothers are trying to get together and put a gas station on the corner block. You're going to have the brothers who are investing. You're going to have the brothers who know how to run a gas station, and they're going to be working together to run that gas station. But then you'll have another guy coming from another side, and it's like, well, your brother trying to build a gas station, but you need to know knowledge of self first, or you need to do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, it might be relevant points, but it's not relevant points to actual these dudes getting together, putting together this gas station. It's like when the guys getting together, putting together a gas station, they're going to use calculators, they're going to use stuff. There's no key on the calculator for knowledge itself. It's just digits. So the people that are trying to put something together, they're just going to follow some mathematical formulas, some economic formulas, investments, return on investment, like that type of knowledge. It's great to have knowledge itself, but that's a separate thing. So it's like, when brothers want to organize on something, you got to have a brother who are expert at that. Those brothers want to work on putting that corner gas station together. Let them work together free to go. Those four or five brothers, 10 brothers, however many. They don't need other brothers who might be expert in, I said, raising kids, education system, eating healthy, herbs, or that type of stuff. That doesn't have to enter into getting that gas station on.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, right. So, it's like
a singular focus.
Right. So a singular focus, and it's like, whatever, if a brother is into education, if he's into herbs and eating healthy, if he's into something, let him do that thing. Focus on that area. And the brothers that are, you know, economic mindset, they're like, come on there and try to tell you, oh, you need to reframe or rephrase this in a certain way. No, it's like, that's your expertise. Run with it. And that's what I'm saying. So it's like, I just look at, like, in the year, you know, coming up, we need to focus on what it is we're good at. And then let other brothers get their stuff that they're good at.
Of course, you know, see, what I was speaking of, and I think this is where we are in harmony. What I was speaking of when I think about running a business, I think about like I was saying, the individual focus. I mean, you know, the singular focus. Before I could bring anyone else into that situation, I would like my situation to be settled, to be strong, I mean, to be right. To have the base already planted. Because, like I said, like you said, I'm trying to do one thing here, and then there are other people who are, you know, trying to bring their expertise, but I'm concentrated on selling gas. And these other people are, they're into this, they're into that, and it really doesn't apply to what it is that I'm doing. Now, if I can get to the point where I have a situation where my gas station, as you put it, my gas station is solid. I have a solid customer base. You know, I'm expanding. I'm talking about adding a couple of pumps to my gas station. And I run into someone that has another interest that is also at the same place that I am. Maybe we can come together and offer something in tandem, you know, without with me not interfering with his business, him not interfering with my business, but, you know, basically giving support back and forth so that both of our businesses can expand. But then even with that situation, how do you find someone that's like-minded? How do you find someone that's going to work as hard? I mean, because you're talking about you have someone that's connected to what it is that you're doing, although they're in a completely different arena. How would you feel? Here you are, you're working your butt off in this tandem to hold up your end. And, you know, from your perception, not necessarily from his, from your perception, you feel that the guy that has connected with you is slacking. See, this is where friction comes in. You're like, well, why am I doing this? Because I'm handling my business this way, and he's handling his business that way. Now, I was fortunate enough at one point in time to actually get an opportunity to start a business. I was, you know, I was running a car service, and I was dealing with guys that were also involved in car service. But the basis of my car service was best guest services, if you will. I mean, when a client was in the back of my vehicle, he was like a guest in my home. And, you know, that was the perspective from which I worked, you know, making him comfortable, making sure that everything worked, make sure I'm there on time, and all of those portions of operating a business that makes your business stand out. Whereas the other people I was dealing with, they didn't approach the situation that way. So it became impossible for me to work with them. And I would suggest that my business was doing better because of the way I practice. I mean, you know, I mean, because if you want just a ride, you can jump into a cab. But when you are talking about a car service, you're talking about adding that extra bit of service to it. Now, how would you feel if you're connected to someone that's not handling the business as the way you are? That's when the friction develops. And then it starts to affect this thing that you had so solid. So, you know, I mean, my concern, anytime you're becoming involved with a second entity, this is the problem that you face.
Right, that's true, man.
And put that in the perspective of building a nation. Now, we're just talking about a couple of businesses here. Now, put that same concept where you have all these different individuals that you're trying to bring together for truly one solid person, and everybody brings a different idea to the situation. It can be more than one person can handle, obviously, and the result can wind up being catastrophic.
I think that's what we're looking at when you're just talking about, you know, even running the city, people in the city, you know, from Detroit or Chicago or wherever, you got so many people with so many different ideas about what to do, it doesn't seem like anything's getting done. Like you'll hear, you know, some people talking about, you know, the what's going on, the violence in Chicago. But it's like, it's not as if there's one concept that someone is working on is going to turn that violence around. You know, and that's just one city and just one incident. So you imagine you're just trying to put together infrastructure, government, utilities, everything, you know, that's a whole lot of work to do. And, you know, whether they ain't on the same page, which they're not going to be, we need to figure out a way to try to resolve conflicts before these things come out. Because, like, right now, we have conflicts with, you know, people can't agree on the ancient Kemet or Egypt, or people can't agree on role of slavery, or people can't agree on Obama.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a mess trying to get brothers to organize. We need a way of what, resolving disputes without breaking apart the whole, you know, the whole nation.
Well, on that perspective, speaking from a position of what would I call it, experience,
yeah.
During what I consider the most successful movement as that my people, black people, were ever involved in, there were two concepts upon which they could draw unity. One of those concepts was God. I mean, this was before what I'm talking about is this was before, well, actually, the Nation of Islam at this point in time was a group coming into its own. And so basically most black people were Christian if they were anything. And so therefore they had a singular concept of God. Okay. And the other concept was all black people were being treated wrong. I mean, even if you had money, you were still a nigger. That was the concept that existed in that day. And so, therefore, they had two very strong concepts on which they could do nothing but agree. But even with that, there were two different camps as to how to approach the problem. One was the nonviolence, and the other was H. Rapp Brown and Stokely Carmichael and the Black Panther Party. Right? So even when you've got these very strong singular concepts, you still have a place of unity. And the only problem that I saw in the situation, and this was at a very young age, was, okay, why can't the nonviolent movement, and for lack of a better term, the violent movement, come together to resolve the issue? And at some point in time, regardless of what the issue is, and there are so many issues, regardless of what the issue is with black, and, you know, I ask myself, how can it possibly happen, what it is that I'm about to suggest? Regardless of all of the issues that affect my concern, black people, at this point in time, what singular issue can unite us to the point where we will fight to resolve all of our issues? I mean, you talk about the financial and, you know, financial situation, education, the treatment of us by the authorities in this country, the treatment of the man that's supposed to be the most powerful man in the world, the treatment that he receives simply because he's black. All of these issues, religion, all of these issues, what can we as a people, and, okay, we can't even agree that we are a people anymore. So where is our source of unity? What is it that we can't agree on? And, you know, I have a difficult time trying to figure out, okay, exactly what is it in this world that is going on now that every black person, every person of color can unite around? This is the issue. Because the only way that our problems are going to be resolved is a consolidated effort. All of us agree that, okay, this situation has to stop. Okay, we can try picking it off issue by issue. But how long would that take? You know, okay, naturally, the first thing that comes to mind, violence all over this country. Well, I'm from Chicago. I was just about to say, especially in Chicago. But you see, that is a division. And the last thing that black people need is another division. I mean, the violence in Chicago, for my money, is no more significant than it is in any other black neighborhood in this country. The only difference is the violence in Chicago is receiving all of the publicity right now. And it seems to me like other black communities get, what, a twinge of jealousy because they're not being mentioned for their violence? I'm speculating here. I mean, it's like, okay, instead of cringing at the concept of being the murder capital of the United States, which basically makes you the murder capital of the world, they're wearing it like a badge of honor or something? That's the sense that I'm getting, and I could be wrong, but that's the sense that I'm getting. I mean, there are actually factions within the city of Chicago that are proud of the fact that they're killing people by the droves daily. So, you can try to pick these issues off one by one, but wouldn't it be so much easier if these people could, come together on one issue that they could all agree and resolve, of numerous issues that affect our community in the detrimental ways?
Yeah, one issue that affects all people of color is white supremacy, black people specifically, and black males even more specific. But
okay. Hey, it's me again.
But look at that. I mean, you have a lot of black people, especially black women,
right,
suggesting, why don't you quit talking about the white man? The white man this, the white man that. Yeah, I'm sure you heard that.
Oh, yeah.
So now you want to discuss white supremacy with these people, and they automatically close their ears. I mean, I'm willing to listen to anyone's opinion about anything. Even some of the white, of course, I find it humorous, but even some of the white people that have called in the Chef Rob show with their, supremacist view, if you will, I'm willing to listen to that. I mean, I like comedy just as much as the next person, so, I'm willing to listen to that. But, there are some people, like I said, if you start talking about white supremacy, there are black people that will close their ears.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, I got two new callers. 678-938. Your line is open. State your name. Where you calling from?
Hey, what's going on? This is Draco. I'm calling from the Atlanta area.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, brother?
You got a question?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me, man. Well, I mean, I haven't listened to the show much. I mean, it's my first time, but from a little bit I heard, it seems to me you're speaking about, black women and just black people, period, and how they want to duck down and not talk about the problem of white supremacy. Is that correct?
Well, what's going on out here.
Okay, well, I mean, it makes sense, though. I mean, most people, they want to ignore a problem until it gets too bad. In the case of blacks, I mean, they don't have an incentive to overthrow because they feel they're getting something out of it. It's almost the same like, the poor white too. Vote Republican, even though they're not getting their interest, as long as they get to hate black people, hey, that's okay with them, and it's no different with blacks. As long as they're getting their meager benefits, they got no trouble accepting the system. They're too brainwashed by it, and they have nothing to, they have no alternative, so they're like, hey, we don't talk to us about some fictional Africa. That's our mindset.
Yeah. Is this black Dragon Rage on YouTube?
Say it again?
The voice sounds familiar. Do you do videos on YouTube?
Yeah, I do some YouTube videos.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know your voice sounds familiar.
And you do YouTube videos? I take you do that same too, right?
I don't do them really, no.
Okay.
I
got a couple hundred subscribers. I'm basically about, black empowerment and just black men just doing economics and not just talking about it, but doing it. So that's basically my shtick.
Yeah. I've heard your videos, man. I might be a subscriber.
Yeah.
You said there was somebody else on the phone too, Chef Rob?
Yes, but his line is open, but he's not saying anything just yet. So.
Oh, okay.
You guys can continue.
Okay. Yeah, we were just trying to, talk about really what we really what steps we need to do to get something going, because, you know, the way we're looking at it, we're kind of spinning our wheels. We're just going over the same thing, like some news events happen, and we'll, you know, talk about it and be upset for a minute, and then we'll go back to, you know, fantasy football or whatever it is we're doing. And we just, you know, just discuss the overall concept of, you know, do brothers get together, put something together, whether it be businesses or investment groups or whatever, you know, growing tomatoes in your backyard, whatever it is brothers got to do to, you know, get through this system, man. So, that's just basically what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, I don't know you guys too well to know your complete viewpoint, but I think I'd say the same, we're in line. One thing I would say is the labor work has been done by, I mean, not the labor work, but the intellectual work has already been laid out decades ago by, you know, Chancellor Williams, you know, Ranuka Rashidi, whether it be on the historical front, the economic, Dr. Claude Anderson, the Powernomics, and, you know, black labor, white. Well, the intellectual is part done. The problem is we have been too stuck on the intellectual side, and as a result, it's what I think his name is Black Authority. He will say this is what you call, you know, intellectual masturbation. Too many guys are talking about theory and theory. That's what I'm talking about. You got to talk about it. But at some point, like, when do you get the tipping point to action? And, you know, and this goes back to the whole family. If your family is, like, raising you, like, mostly it's racist, like, hey, you know, son or Asian guy or white guy, you got a business, you get a skill, you get a, you know, college degree, this is expecting you. That's like a basic, you know. But with us, we've been raised, you know, chase Nike, chase heroin. So, I mean, that's where you're coming from. The good point, though, is you do have a good chunk of black men and even black women who are like, hey, you know, we're not coons. We understand the system. We're out of the matrix mentally. So now let's do it economically and physically. And the problem is too many people are stuck in the talking part. Also, a lot of people, so-called conscious community, it's just talk with them. It's theory. And that basically they're using talk as an excuse to get themselves out of action. I think the first thing that needs to be done is, if you're a black man, start with the men first, because, you know, power is not the man's issue, that's a man's realm. Every black man who's like-minded, you better have a college degree, a bachelor's, you better have a skill labor you can work with your hands, and you better have your own business. That's a bare minimum. We know what to do. Just do it. I'm working on it right now. I got maybe 2 years, and I should be done with all my economic goals. Once you have that, the next phase, you start working in your local areas, which I always preach. Find some brothers, you know, meet them offline. By all means, take precaution and whatever. You're meeting people from offline, you're online, but meet them. Hey, how you doing, whatever, get a good feel from them. Once you know you're synced with them, work in small numbers, man. Work locally. Don't even try to do a national thing. That's a waste of time, and, you know, it can always be broken out. Understand your enemies. You know, it's not just the white supremacy. At least they're honest. It's the Negro Bedouin. It's the coon. It's the so-called thug who's making the neighborhood unsafe for you. Those are not your friends. Those are your enemies. We don't have time to call. I'm like, oh, my baby, you do the victim of white supremacy. Hey. Once you're over 25, fuck you, you know. A friend of mine, he's a brother, like-minded. He used to be a, you know, correctional. He said that, you know, the young kids, they never heard this stuff, so they're out of line. But when they hear this, they're receptive. So if it's a young person, by all means, mentor them and help them. With them, you can be understanding. But once they're 25, no more. If you're over 25 years old, you're still in debt, hey, forget you. I got to move on. We got to go to Africa. We got to make money. If nothing else, then at least your personal life would be better. That's the best thing about what I'm advocating is, we know what to do, Powernomics. Spend at least 50% of your spending money on, you know, African restaurants and black-owned businesses. Just make an effort, you know. Find two or three people in your local area. If you can do at least two or three people, you can work. You can have what Napoleon Hill referred to as a mastermind, which is basically you can't do it yourself all the time. You need two or three people in your local area. That's all you need. There's too much talking there. And I'm not saying it to insult, you know, brothers like yourself who are having discussions. I really am, you know, thankful because we have it, but at some point, we also got to do action. And once people see that, like, oh, wow, they actually doing it, they're not just talking about it, okay, let me get my own business. If I'm not Afrocentric, at least I can be a millionaire. You know, that's the first thing. We need economics. Like Doc Paul said, the first phase.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's good for me. Go ahead, bro.
Can I ask the brother for specifics as far as actions are concerned? Specifics. When you say actions, I appreciate what you were saying about starting your own business, having your own thing. That's basically what I was speaking about when I said, you know, you have to establish a base. You have to have something that people are interested in, and you have to have. I really appreciate what you were saying about if you don't get anything else out of it, at least you get a modicum of personal comfort in the situation where you see all of this destruction and all of these things going on around you. At least you are somewhat protected from it. Your situation is going on, but that's a double-edged sword because it really, I'm experiencing a certain modicum of comfort right now in my situation,
okay.
It definitely cuts me to see what's going on with something because I'm in the Chicagoland area. I'm originally born and raised in Chicago, so
wow,
it really cuts
me
what's happening with my young brethren and sisters in this situation here. But in the meantime, like I said, I'm living within a certain comfort zone right here myself. So, that hurts, but it's still what it is. I agree. It's what I have to do. I have to protect me and mine before, I owe it to me and mine to provide them with a certain
amount. Take care of your first, take care of yourself, brother.
But my question is, okay, what specifics could you give as far as what actions would you call for? What is it that you would want to see?
Okay.
Because, see, I'm a brother that grew up in the 60s. And,
right.
I kind of, Jeff Rob will tell you, I really have a hankering for the actions that were going on back then because I actually saw one thing that I've always wanted to see, fear in white people for black people and respect of black people for each other. And I'm not seeing any of that now. I mean, it seems being from that era, I have an issue with white people being all too comfortable using the word nigger. I have an issue with white people being all too comfortable disparaging the quote-unquote most powerful man in the world simply because he's black. And I have an issue with the disrespect that is being shown culturally for black people, especially black women. Not just by black men, but black women themselves. So,
well, here's the thing, brother. One of my mentors is if I may speak, sir, I mean, I will say this much. Yep. One of my mentors is a former Panthers, like the original, the new ones. And basically he said three things to the black community. The degeneration of the church, because the church was once a foundation, now it's bullshit. The single motherhood, the matriarchy, the hood-approved matriarchy, government-sponsored, and integration. So what solution? Well, you got to go to the family. The fact of the matter is, sir, is that most black females sold out. You know, if black males sell out, we call them a sellout, and that's right. But I respect black women as equals, and I don't do lip service. So I hold them to a higher accountability. You have too much males, they're thinking with their dicks instead of their mind, say, hey, sister, you can do better than this. So they're not holding them accountable. First things first, sir, we got to acknowledge that. You know, we can't just say that, the black males were sellout. We also consider a certain group of females were sellouts, too. We have sellouts, both male and female. And also, if you're familiar with Chancellor Williams' Destruction of Black Civilization, he basically states our number one enemy since ancient times. We're not the Eurasians, not the whites, not the Arabs, or whatever. The number one greatest enemy is ourselves. We have traitors. They are the ones who need to be taken out.
Oh, definitely.
No ifs and buts. Male and female. They have to be taken out. I don't have an issue with whites because at least I have an honest competitor. I don't want someone to stand in the back, however. So the first thing we got to do is we got to get the family straight. Get the family straight.
Yeah.
Have your basic family straight.
Let me just interject this real quick. The same belief I have as to how an individual, my consideration is black people, definitely the black man, because I do believe that the black man is the answer to all of this situation, not just for the benefit of black people, but for the benefit of this planet. I believe that the black man is the solution. See, but like I said, the same approach that I use as far as my life is concerned is the same approach that I would use as far as this world is concerned, i.e., my situation built up first, the black man's situation built up first, the black people's situation built up first, and then we will worry about everybody else. The same thing I use.
Well, let's not worry about them. They don't worry about us, sir, so we shouldn't worry about them. Let them take care of their own problems. Let the other people take care of their problems.
Being a solution, okay, that, I respect your perspective. But being a solution, being a true solution, is being a solution for all. Now, like I said, got to get your own, like you said, got to get your own house in order before you go knocking on your neighbor. Okay? So I agree with that wholeheartedly. And you have to be comfortable with the situation first before you can make anyone else comfortable. See, that's
right,
my thing,
exactly.
The way I see it. My situation,
you're on the money, sir. You're on the money. You take care of yourself first.
Okay.
The thing is, I don't mind dealing with other people, but I also know from my experience, respect is a two-way street. If they're willing to, quote-unquote, take care of us, then why are they attacking us? Notice how all the so-called non-black minorities, the Hispanics, whatever, when it serves their interests, oh, hey, we're all minorities. As soon as they got what they want, you're a nigger. I'm serving the white man. So we don't need to deal with these motherfuckers. We got to take care of ourselves first. Black first. We got black all over the world. We got blacks in America, Latin America, the Middle East, Oceania, Australia, Asia, and, of course, Africa and Europe. We got 2 billion black people around the world, including India. I got more than enough black diversity. So before I try to worry about integrating other people, I want to integrate myself.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. But let me give you, since you brought up the analogy about respect in a two-way street, okay?
Right.
I get that. But there's also a situation where sometimes the streets you're talking about, and in this case I'm talking about the street of respect, is the only reasonable, logical street to take. Otherwise, you're stupid. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Black people can put themselves in a situation where respect for them is the only way that anybody else is going to get where they're going. That includes, black women, black children. But respect for the black man is the only way you're going to get where you want to be. You have to take that street.
Exactly.
Of course, you can respect somebody because they deserve it, or you can respect somebody because you have no other choice but to respect them. Either way, I'll take the respect.
Exactly. We're men, so that's first, gets that power. If you want to learn a skilled labor, I know they've gutted the high schools with that, but let me tell you guys a little tip I learned years ago. There's a brother on YouTube named the Sweet Sour Heath. Don't forget that. The guy is very thorough with economic issues, getting a job, getting your own business, skilled labor. If you want a skilled labor, you can go to the Department of Labor. I told my friend about a few months ago, he's a young blood, and right now he's taking his test to be a plumber, and he's going to school to be an engineer. I told him, I consult with them. I'm more than glad to give my information to him. So if you want skilled labor, go to Department of Labor. College, of course, you got a phone to pay for that. You got at least a bachelor's, hopefully a STEM job, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Business, if you don't know how to start your own business, you can go to score.org, S-C-O-R-E.org. They're free. They're funded by the government. Score.org. Score, S-C-O-R-E.org. They're funded by the government. They give free advice, free business planning. They can be helped with finance if you need it, but you just need someone to help you learn the business. Of course, you got to know your products and things like that. And if you wanted a specific manual, of course, what was the book? Structure of Black Civilization and Power Knowledge. They're both excellent manuals. Like I said, we have more than enough people who preceded us and given us information. We just got to go ahead and execute it. Time is over, man. They're killing for children, and they're coming for us. So there's no more time to talk, man. We got to go hit the ground
now. Hey, brother. There's a new caller coming in. Chef Ross said, Mr. Solution. Everybody on BTR got Mr. Solution. He's a world famous on BTR, at least. Are you there, Mr. Solution?
Yes, I am.
I might have heard his term. I might have heard one time, yeah.
Yes, I am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear
you.
I can
hear
you,
brother.
Well, one of the problems, as I see, just standing back, first of all, you guys need to define what black is. You keep throwing that word around very, very liberally, but it's not defined. And I think I'm going to prove my point right now. Please define since you talk about it so much, what is black in America? What is that thing?
In America, that's people of African descent.
Okay, but
black
that's everybody.
Color, but we are African.
Wait a minute. Did you hear what I just said?
Okay.
That's everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody came from Africa.
Yeah,
and if you go to what's known as
you're right.
If you can still hear me, I just want to explain this. And usually, I'm going to, first of all, when I ask a question, understand, I know what the answer is.
Sure.
Okay. So the thing of it is, if you look at what's called the racial purity laws of Virginia, racial purity laws, you can go to the court case called Lovings versus the state
of Virginia.
Lovings versus Virginia. And so what happened was, in America, black was black. Go ahead. What?
Continue.
No, okay, I heard some noise. Black was defined as poor and powerless. Those are the two terms. They used the color. They used the color scheme to define a condition or to create a condition. What I say again, poor and powerless. When you receive wealth and you're not powerless anymore, you're not black. Let me give you an example. There's what you call quadroon, octoroon, and these were legal terms, by the way. Quadroon was a white person, a person who appeared white, all the phenotypical expressions of
a quarter African
that had one-fourth so-called Negro blood. And Negro, Negro is just the Spanish word for black. So you're saying the same thing. And, of course, then they shifted to octoroon, one-eighth. That's a white person who had one-eighth ancestry. They didn't look black at all, what you would typically call black. I think you could look at Imitations of Life. That's a good example. So what I'm saying to you is you need to get away from this thing you can't define and get to ideas. That's really where you need to be, ideas. And anyone who will go along with your ideas and cooperate with you, regardless as to what color they are, those are your people. Not just trying to identify. See, what you're doing is being, and I don't mean this in a cruel way, but being stuck on stupid. You've been conditioned to think a certain way, and that's the only way you think. So you don't side with people who you feel don't look like you. Looks are just superficial. All throughout history, no one has ever defined anyone by color. They have always defined people by culture, which means primarily language. You are an American. They just excluded you from power and privilege, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you take, for example, and I hope this is making sense to you, if you take a person that was a quadroon, that was a person who looked white, but again, they could trace somewhere in their lineage, they had one African. So so what they were saying is, we can't trust this person. Even though they look like us, we can't trust them.
They got some of that stuff.
Go ahead.
I hear you. No, I hear you. Like, you know, they're mostly one of us are white, but they got a little bit of that African or that black.
Yeah,
well,
what they were saying,
but you
see,
point,
all of
though.
This was a bullshit. It was a trick. It was a ruse. But it worked very well. But what they were saying is, since this person has somebody close in their lineage, we can't trust them. Even though they look like one of us, we can't trust them. That's the point you got to realize. So it's all about really ideology, what kind of ideology that you have. So you can't define black. Black cannot be defined. And then, by the way, they went to the one-drop rule. Now, when you get to the one-drop rule, you can start laughing your ass off, because what does that mean? Everybody has a drop of African blood. If you trace anybody's genealogy, everybody comes from Africa. Everybody.
Body.
So this bullshit that blacks in America, so-called blacks in America, have been taught, what you've been taught is to try to connect with people who have been taught to hate themselves, hate their exterior, hate their being. You're never going to work with most of those people. They've been corrupted and destroyed mentally. And that's what slavery was all about, stealing your labor, screwing up your mind. So you need a definition of black, not just this superficial crap that you've been going by, because how's that working for you? I would suggest it's not working at all. So try to connect with people of any similar mindset, regardless of their outer exterior. Does that make sense?
Okay. It's making sense.
Let me put it in context. Let me put something
in context. Makes sense if you speak the English language, but other than that, I mean, I'm trying to figure out the purpose of the conversation. I mean, I understand the history lesson and all of that. I also understand that the human race was divided up into, what, three genus?
Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not scientific. That, yeah, but that's not scientifically valid. That's bullshit. If you follow, if you go down that rabbit trail, you're going to end right back where you are. All human beings are Homo sapiens. Homo sapiens. They're one species. One species.
Yeah, we're the same race. I agree with you on that. You know, I agree with you on that. We are the same race, whether you like it or not. We got superficial characteristics. My only dilemma is this: for thousands of years, and especially in the last, you know, 500 years,
and one particular group with these superficial characteristics managed to grab control
of
the entire world because of that simple superficial characteristic. So now the superficial has become quite significant in this world.
Only to those people who allow it. And like I say again, let me give you the final word. In America, there's still opportunity to gain wealth and power. When you gain
wealth and power,
you're no longer defined by that term. You can't even identify.
So let's talk about this fictitious group known as black people. What black people would you suggest have power?
Well, anybody has power when they gain wealth. That was the whole point of slavery. Slavery was an economic enterprise. That was the whole purpose, is to steal people's
wealth
and resources. That was the whole purpose of slavery. All that other shit was just to help them do that effectively. So once you gain wealth and power, you're no longer black.
Really? Let me
Tyler Perry. Tell that to Jay-Z. They do have wealth. Tell that to Michael Jordan. He has wealth, doesn't he?
They're still called.
He's no longer black.
Nigger. Even though they got money and power.
He's no longer perceived as black.
Okay, see what you guys are doing. You keep falling into the sinkhole. That doesn't matter.
No,
a person can call you anything. It's what you answer to. You have power. What you guys have, many of you have failed to understand, is what wealth means.
Okay.
You failed to understand that.
I was trying to get some clarification by asking you about certain quote unquote black people that I thought had quote unquote wealth.
Okay, go ahead.
I asked you, does Oprah have wealth?
Okay, I'm going to say it again. Anyone who gains
wealth. All I'm asking for is a yes or no.
Anyone who gains wealth defines themselves. Period.
Really?
Yes.
So back to my question. Does Oprah have wealth?
Well, I mean, obviously, we believe that Oprah, because she's in media, that Oprah has wealth.
Have,
so what's your
so
point?
She doesn't have wealth.
Huh?
So she doesn't have, because if she had wealth, we wouldn't believe we would know. So she doesn't have wealth because we have to believe it.
I don't know. Could you please say what you're speaking in riddles? What are you really saying?
I'm speaking in riddles. I asked a question.
Anyone in America that has wealth defines themselves.
I'm
no one else defines
riddles.
Them unless they're stupid.
No.
Now, some people who have wealth are still stupid.
Okay. One second here. Let me get this straight.
Yes.
When you have there is a road. These are your words. There is a road for everyone in this country to have wealth and power.
There's the opportunity for everyone to. Let me put it to you this way.
Opportunity exists for everyone to have wealth and power.
In America, there's a greater opportunity.
That looks like me that has wealth and power.
Okay. First of all. Okay, are you going? You're speaking over me, and this is one of the problems, by the way. What I'm doing is simply explaining to you. Now, I can give you a formula. This is the formula, and I've stated it before. Three things that a person should do to become powerful. Number one, you need to be educated, get some education. That's what America is about. Have all your bills paid. Get to where you have all your monthly bills paid. You have 1 year's salary, either net or gross. in a readily accessible account, checking, savings, money market, so on and so forth. And I often say have an elimination within the last 12 hours. If you're in that condition, you have become a quote-unquote American, a powerful American. All your bills paid, 1 year's salary in reserve, and have had an elimination in the last 12 hours.
Okay. Can I interject real quick?
Go ahead, bro.
Somewhere during this conversation, I can't say exactly who, but someone brought up the concept of trust. I would never trust anyone that couldn't answer a simple yes or no question. Never.
I would agree with you on that. My brother from Atlanta was going to say something.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. You know, and I know you told me the terminology I was used by, but what I'm more familiar with, this, I'm sure you understand where I'm coming from. Anyway, so you got a bunch of blacks, some, you know, a good amount of them. They got at least a year's worth. They have an elimination every 12 hours, and they're somewhat educated, and they're still discriminated against. They're still attacked. A few decades ago when you had the Black Wall Street of Little Africa in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they clearly met those and exceeded those, you know, qualifications, that formula to be, you know, wealthy and powerful. And yet, instead of the dominant society, hey, you know, you're one of us. You got some money. You got some education. You got some land. They bombed the hell out of them. So why would they do that if they're one of them now, if they have wealth and power? Why would they do that to them if they have met those expectations and then some?
That was over 70 years ago, sir. Things have changed. I mean, where have you been? And what are you suggesting as a solution, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
I'm suggesting that brothers get together, or his brother is the wrong term to use. I'm suggesting that people get together who feel that this situation is unjust, who feel that this situation is taking advantage of a large number of people that probably look like a bunch of people on this phone line. I'm suggesting that these people get together, discuss this issue quietly, peacefully, intelligently, and try to come up with some solutions within their own self. And one thing that they have to do, like the brother said, is put themselves in a situation where they can be comfortable. Because when you are comfortable, you are better able to consider the problems and maladies that other people suffer when your life isn't going through the same thing. So therefore, in order to even give this intelligent thought, you have to be in a certain strata as far as your life is concerned. I'm suggesting to stop.
I agree with
people in the throes of this situation. They're few and slanted. They're hurting by this. So you have to get some people that are hurt by this, but at least they're finding a way through. That's what I'm suggesting. If I had I put it on the shelves and sell it, but I don't. But at least I can sit down and try to hold a conversation to try to resolve it instead of bringing up all of these things. I appreciate the history lesson, really. But I don't think the octoroon, quadroon situation, mulatto, is helping us at this point in time.
But it's now, doing
well. Let me add to the conversation. I think that it's okay to use the term black. I don't think that we as black people need permission from someone else to say that we can't use the word black. I mean, we can use the terms that we choose to use. And the other thing is, if you're driving in New York or somewhere or anywhere and you get pulled over for being black, it's because of what you look. It doesn't matter if somebody can define it or not define it. You know you've been pulled over because you're black, and the cops know it. They pull you over because you look black. They're suspicious of young black men.
Corvino, man, what does that mean to be black? I'm asking you for a definition of it. What does that mean?
If you were here, Trayvon Martin could tell you what it means to be black.
All right, the police, see, what you're talking about now, what you're talking about now, the police, you're talking about political power. That's where your group collectiveness comes in, because the police are controlled by the mayor and the city council. So once you obtain wealth and power, lawsuits and being politically active is what gives you social power.
You keep talking about wealth and power, yet still you haven't named one person that you consider having wealth and power.
Okay, well, Oprah has wealth and power. Okay, does that satisfy you? I don't know what you want, actually. I don't know what you're seeking.
I would have appreciated an answer to that question about 3-4 minutes ago.
Just answered it. So consider it answered. Yes. Oprah has power.
Oprah has wealth and power.
Yes. Okay. Now, what's your next question? What are you driving at?
What's your point? Oprah still suffers the maladies of most black people.
That's bullshit.
Well, do I need to tell you that? Really?
Well,
that's bullshit.
Let me tell you real quickly when you guys are done.
Oprah is a thespian. If you can hear me, Oprah is a thespian. Oprah is an actor. And part of her shtick is sensationalism. Oprah can go places you can't even imagine.
No,
so
I
don't know what you're talking about.
I have a very vivid imagination, so I can imagine Oprah going just about anywhere. But I don't have to imagine Oprah going to these places that you talk about and still being reminded of the fact that she's, I don't know what word you want me to use, but I'm going to use black.
Okay, it's not a perfect world, first of all. If you want the world to
be
perfect.
It's not a perfect world, and it's even more imperfect for I don't know what word you want me to use, but it's still more imperfect for I'm going to use black people.
Okay, let me say this. It's a great world to me. And I'm sure it's a greater world to Oprah. But at a certain point, greatness is greatness. I'm just calling in to talk to you. I don't have any of the problems that you're talking about. So I'm just listening to you from an academic standpoint, not a practical standpoint.
So you're listening to me from a learned standpoint.
I'm listening to you from a separate...
You said academic.
I'm listening to you from the condition. Okay, I'm
listening
to
you from a learned standpoint, and
okay,
you have the audacity to call my opinion bullshit. But you're listening to me from an academic standpoint.
Okay, I'm listening to you from a position of empowerment. I don't have the problems you're talking about. I know about them.
A position of empowerment.
That's right. I know about them. Now, the thing of it is, if this is a woe is me and a pity party session.
Wait a minute, let me finish my point
if I can.
Well, thank you.
If this is a pity party, I'll just listen.
But if you want some answers, I'm sharing with you.
I heard someone mention Dr. Claude Anderson's book, Powernomics. I would say get it, read it, analyze it, and do it. And your problems will be solved.
Okay. My problems would be solved. One of the problems that I have, one that hurts me dearly, is all of the people out there whose problems won't be solved by me reading Claude Anderson's book.
Let me answer that. That's a good point that you raise. Dr. Anderson talks about, because I've read his book, he talks about if you're on a flight and all of a sudden trouble erupts, okay, air turbulence, and those oxygen masks fall from the head area, you're supposed to get yours and put it on first before you try to help anyone else. So the most important thing in life that a person can do is empower themselves. And then try to assist others, worthy others, whom they can. I understand empathy. I understand sympathy. But you can't do anything just with a woe is me attitude. Become successful and then help those who are worthy of following in your footsteps. Does that make sense?
Excuse me. One second. Can I have one second? Is the brother from Atlanta still on the phone?
I'm sure. I'm going to be gone soon, but it's been a pleasure speaking to all you brothers, but I just want to ask you,
brother, what it is the brother just mentioned. Is that not what we spent most of our conversation talking about, taking care of home first, getting yourself in a situation where you can be a benefit? So this is like redundancy. Let me do this.
All right, I know you're taking an attitude. This is my time listening to your show.
About.
haven't heard you before. I'm just sharing with you, you're talking about the problems that so-called black people that you haven't even defined have. And I'm simply saying how one, black or otherwise, cannot have those problems. That's all I'm saying. I'm not fighting with you. I don't even know you. So I'm not fighting with you. I'm simply sharing poignant ideas. You understand?
I speak English very well.
Okay, good. All right, I'll just listen to you guys. I'll hang out in the queue because I'm sure you'll resolve whatever you will resolve.
No, I don't think we're going to come to any true resolutions here, but we can come up with some ideas. But let me ask you a question. Do you define white people? If so, how?
Well, yeah, white people, it's very easy. White people have power and privilege through their wealth.
Well, okay, good.
Did you just hear me? You started talking before, apparently, you digested what I said. How do you define white people, or how does one define people?
Hold on a minute. Let me bring this brother in, and you guys can go back at it for a few. Let this brother speak a bit, because he had a few things to say about the topic, and he was kind of quiet. Mr. Holicism, you there?
Peace.
How you doing, brother?
What's up, brother?
How you doing? What would you like to add to this?
Man, where do I start? First, I'll keep making this point because it seems like this point keeps getting resurrected over and over again. Black is not ambiguous. Who black people are is no ambiguity. The only time it becomes an ambiguity is when we start talking about power. When we start talking about who we're going to oppress, who we're going to keep out of the power structures in the system, everybody knows with pinpoint accuracy who black folks is. So I'm not even going to engage in that conversation. That's not ambiguous. We know exactly who black people are. I prefer African, because that attaches me to culture. I have no problem with black. And I usually use black in conjunction with African. But everybody keeps talking about what is this and what's culture and what is black people and what we should do. I mean, it's really relatively simple to me. I mean, like all of this self-help stuff is stuff that you usually need when you have no nation. There's a lot of self-help gurus out there selling a lot of books and telling people what they can do individually because those people are working and operating within the context of no nation, no power, no social, economic, and political power. And I'm dying to know how black folks are going to become comfortable with no skills and no jobs. Where are you getting your jobs from? Do you have a place? Are your people generating the jobs that you're working for, or are you getting jobs through somebody else?
Hey, you both have a good day.
And another thing is white folks don't even have jobs for their own people. We're being cut out of the labor market by the Mexicans. And that's something that we're going to have to address very soon. So this whole thing about this rugged individualism thing, I don't have a problem with individualism per se, but I'll just use this as an example. There was a man in New York who, by his rugged individualism, managed to become mayor of New York City. And that same man couldn't catch a cab in his own city. You feel me? Because you are not judged by just you personally. You are judged by the group in which you come from. So all of these niggas can get as much money as they want to, but you're going to be associated with a powerless people. So when you're in the midst of other rich people and other wealthy people, you're going to be the low person on the totem pole. You know what I'm saying? So that's the first thing we got to do. The first thing we got to do is stop it with this confusion about this identity confusion. Black folks know who the hell they are. If you don't know it, just go out here and try to be an American like everybody else, and you will find out quickly who you are.
Or traveled outside the coverage area. Please try your call again later.
Hello?
MATL02. The mobile customer you have called is...
I think somebody's lying.
Are you here now? Go ahead. Continue, brother.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, if you go out here trying to be an American and find out, you're going to find out exactly who you are. See, because the people in power know who we are. They don't have no confusion. There's no ambiguity. There's no, well, what is black? There is no, that discussion doesn't even come up. We are just sitting here having this stupid-ass conversation, as far as I'm concerned. We know who black folks are. So then what we have to do, first of all, is eliminate that confusion. And we have to be, we have to find common ground amongst all of us. And I believe that the common ground is that we all don't have socioeconomic and political power. We all do not control the context in which we live in. We all don't have any land. We also don't control any infrastructure. Now, individually, being in America, individually, if you don't want to work with your own, you can have a quite successful life. You can make a lot of money. You know, if that's what the goal is, then you can definitely do that. But what I find interesting is that why do people who want to do that get involved in group-oriented discussions? Why do you get involved in black nationalism and pan-Africanism and want to jump in and interject when you're an individualist? If you got your money and you got your shit straightened out, what, you should be okay.
As far as a guilty conscience, maybe?
I noticed that, you know, I don't know if Carla's on the line. I see him in the chat room. But me, I swear to you, me, when I had my show, and Carla when he's on, and when Chef is on their show, we have so many people who swear that they don't have no interest in nationalism, no interest in pan-Africanism, always showing up in our forums. But we never show up in theirs. You notice that, Chef?
You notice that?
I know Colin notices it. Every single time, it's like, what's that dude, Sarge, and the rest of these clowns. All of a sudden, they got so much time and they busy schedule of making money and being successful that they can tune in for 2 hours and listen to what we got to say. So, you know, I just find the whole thing humorous, man. It's like, I have a lot of opinions on what we need to do, but I don't want to take up any more time. You know, like, let the brothers talk, and I'll just be listening in the background.
I mean, that, man, you said a mouthful right there, man, because I never heard a discussion where we were talking about black issues and somebody called in and said, you know, what is black?
It only comes to that discussion, like that question you will always hear popping up when we start talking about power. If we're talking about oppression, everybody know who black folks is. The moment we start talking about having some power, getting some land, getting some infrastructure, start talking nationhood, now all of a sudden, oh, well, what is black? We get into this philosophical shit. Well, what is black? Come on, man.
Yeah, if you don't know, this might not be the right conversation for you.
This is stuff we've been dealing with for a long time, man. We're going to always have people jumping in to the conversation of nationhood and infrastructure and the land and all this other stuff and all this these are collective issues that we're discussing. We're talking about the empowerment of our groups. Now, there is something to be said for the empowerment of the individual, and you can go out there. One thing that brother did say that is definitely true. If you consider yourself just an individual detached from culture, you can go out there and make all the money you can because you don't have no allegiance to nobody or whatever. Now, there are going to be times when you get lumped in with the people that you come from that you're going to have to deal with, and usually that's what most rich Negroes have to deal with, like they come home and they feel like they got their feelings hurt because they got treated like a nigger one day. I mean, that's just what I call collateral damage. You know, that's like cultural residue. That stuff happens. But you can have a successful life. You can make your money. But my thing is, if you're doing that, do you. But don't come in trying to shift us away from what we're trying to do. We're concerned about the collective. We're concerned about our young babies coming up out of the womb. What context are they going to have to live in and exist in collectively? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we know what you're saying.
So if that's the case, let us do us and you do you. And everything is fine. I mean, I ain't got no issues or problem with nobody and whatever they decide to personally do. But I'm worried about the babies, and I'm worried about my people. I'm worried about these old our elders and the generation that's coming behind me.
Yeah,
unfortunately, they can't inherit your job.
Right.
And like I said, I'll be quiet. I'm done.
Even worse than that, they can't. You can impart your knowledge on them, but they seem so resistant to it. I mean, I'm trying to give them what got me, you know, where I am, and I'm just talking about still being alive at my age. You know, I'm not talking about any great shakes here. You know, I want them to experience college because when you leave them out of there, you have a little bit more knowledge than you should have a little bit more knowledge than you did when you went up in there. I want them to, you know how to resolve conflicts where, you know, you don't have to always shoot somebody just because you and that person don't agree on something. And it's just, I mean, man, I know the English language. I know how to talk to people, but, you know, people I care about, my children and people growing up in my neighborhood, they're just not hearing it. They're just not feeling it. And I don't know why, because I'm doing it for their benefit.
What? I'm curious, what did they tell you in response?
I didn't catch that.
What did the youth tell you in response when you try to give them the knowledge? Did they just reject it?
Well, you know, as far as my children are concerned, you know, they sit up and listen wide-eyed, you know. I mean, because they're now at that age, 19 to 25, you know, for my sons, and they're now at that age where, you know, they got the I'm a man disease, but, you know, it takes more than a number for you to achieve manhood. And they give a respectful response because of who I am and how I represent myself. But the follow-up, you know, doing these things, I don't see that coming, you know. The way you handle your money, the way you handle people around you, the way you pick your associates, you know, all of these things that were, you know, instilled in me by people better than me, you know, my people, my family, and the elders of that period. You know, I mean, I listened to them when they said these things, and it held me in good stead. So it's something that I don't think I'm passing on garbage to them. I think I'm passing on something that helped me live through very bad situations. Hell, I was born in the 50s, grew up in the 60s and 70s. Come on. I didn't know what was going on then. And now this situation, you know, in 2000s, when you know, I'm seeing young brothers die in the streets that I used to walk, you know, like I'm walking through my neighborhood. And you know, it's not safe for people that are of the age that I was then to do the same thing. I'm not talking about causing any trouble. I'm talking about walking through a neighborhood without being, you know, without being challenged as to what sex you represent, who you riding, and blah, 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 you know, and the wrong answer. You know, and I'm trying to tell them, hey, well, you know, there's a situation now where, you know, you can't do the things that I was once able to do. You have to avoid these things. You have to stay away from it, and you have to be careful about the, you know, I mean, I'm just glad that, you know, I'm not, and I don't want to jinx this situation. I'm just glad that I'm not going to my son's funeral, but I'm concerned about him going to his friend's funeral. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, that sounds harsh, but hey, I'm talking about my child as opposed to somebody else's child. I don't want the other child to die, but he did. I don't want the other children to die.
Right.
But they're
right.
And, you know, like I said, God knows, I know I'm going to say this wrong. I'd rather my son go to their funeral for me to go to his. So I'm sorry, you know, but this is the deal. Yeah.
You know what, brother?
And, you know,
it's like, unfortunately.
You know, but, hey, you were associated with this guy. And you know, I don't see these guys as being bad guys. I see it's just too many situations right now of that, from what I understand, from what I'm being told. And, of course, I question that. There's too many situations of this wrong place, wrong time situation. You know, a lot of that is going on in the shy right now.
You know what, brother? Unfortunately, everything that we do, as long as we under somebody else's paradigm, somebody else's context, somebody else's infrastructure, somebody else's socioeconomic and political context, everything that we do is sort of like Band-Aids. It's going to be Band-Aids. That's the reason why it's hard getting people to listen to do to anything that you do. I mean, I sound like you sound a lot like me in the terms of the stuff that I go through dealing with our people on an everyday basis. But, you know, it's like it's we do what we can, but the thing is, I want to win this shit. I don't want to do Band-Aid shit. I want to win this shit. And the only way to win this shit, it's just like when you're in your parents' house and you're trying to be a grown person, but they keeping you under the rules, under their rules because it's their house, at what point you come to a conclusion, and you know what the conclusion is. I got to get out and get my own fucking shit.
There you go.
You can't be in somebody else's house and expect that you're going
to
be a grown person and you're going
to... That conclusion, brother. They're not coming to that conclusion. The conclusion they're coming to is, lip service, lip service, and I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do anyway.
Oh, well, that, I don't,
they
you
don't
know what?
Say, I need to know.
I don't expect the masses to come to no conclusion.
Mine are respectful enough not to out and out state that, but then again, they turn around and do it anyway, so they might as well have just had the balls. I mean, you call yourself a man, state your case. If this is what you're going to do, have the balls to say it. Put it all out on the open. I mean, you know, it's like I said. I mean, I didn't say it, but what I'm about to say. It's lies of omission, you know. You're not going to bother to tell this person whose roof you live under that all of the shit that they're talking about, you hear it, you know how they feel, and you're going to go out there and do what the fuck you want to do anyway.
And that causes conflicts and problems, which we are very,
very
familiar
much
with.
So. Very much so.
Which we're very familiar with.
You know?
Hey, Killer.
Like I said, I'm old head, man.
But I don't expect, I honestly don't think that we can talk to the masses personally. I don't think that there's anything that we have to say to them. What we have to do is we have to show them.
You said you're dealing with them on a daily basis, right?
Yeah, I mean, we all are. We caught up in this context.
No,
but what I'm saying
is, I thought you were doing some type of activist situation.
Oh no. Like, just every day dealing with our people on an everyday basis.
Right.
It's like I feel like the intelligentsia of our community, the people who know what time it is and know what the situation is and can give you. I mean, it's been so. We have so many books and so many people who can break this shit down to a T. You know what I'm saying? What are we doing?
But then they stand and they deal with a one-on-one with these people and sit up and talk to them, you know. I mean, how do you talk to someone that's showing absolutely positively no intelligence intelligently?
You can't.
Hey, brother, Shifra wanted Mr. Solution to answer a question. He wanted him to know, to answer, how does he feel about what we just said, and how does this contribute to nationhood?
Contribute to what?
Nationhood. Is Mr. Solution still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Kavina man, but I was a little bit insulted about how I thought you and I knew each other, and
I mean,
we were on the same page as human beings, but apparently you're divergent now. You understand everything that I've said. And
Can I make one statement here? Sir, I apologize if I had anything to do, and I think that anyone else who you feel has made you feel insulted,
I appreciate it. Just Kavina, man. I don't know you guys, and I don't mind mixing it up with anybody. In fact, I one of the functions that I do is as a trained mediator, and I work with finding common ground all the time. But I heard something. I came in on the midst of you guys' program, and I heard you talking about black. And I understand that most people who use the term black, and even people who use the term white, by the way, they can't define it. And a word one can't define, they're not aware of it. They're just talking. And I do have definitions. I understand the history and the legacy of this country. and I understand how to work within the parameters that this country operates according to. In fact, a lot of people do. A lot of people don't, but a lot of people do. So I just heard you.
Can I ask how much of this history you've lived?
Excuse me? Well, I'm over 40, but let me just say I appreciate
okay.
you guys'
well, I got
conversation. 20,
I got possibly 20 years on you, you know.
Well, maybe. But let me just say this: in my years, I'm successful at what I do. And Covina, man, I heard him talk. He owns his home. He paid his home off. You talk about this, right, Covina, man?
Yeah, I talk about it.
And that's personal empowerment. Now, there may be other things that he has to deal with, but he has himself in a good financial situation. And all those other things don't break him down because he has a power foundation. Is that correct, Covina, man?
I guess so, man. But, my issue with what you said was when you start questioning what black was, and that's something that, I mean, we've had plenty of conversations. We never had a conversation about not knowing what black was. That's what took me aback. I mean, you and I usually agree on a number of things, especially with, relationships and black women and stuff like that. But
right,
just on,
right,
this,
right.
on this particular issue, all of a sudden, this was like throwing something new out there that it was like
but,
we
but
never had
a man,
conversation
hold
on.
This a minute. That's the point.
Yes,
this is a fork in the road for you. This is a learning opportunity for you. And if you listen to the number of people that I do who talk about a word that they can't define, that becomes a problem. Would you agree?
I would disagree in that. I think everybody knows what it is.
No, they don't. Okay, I'm going to disagree with you markedly here. They do not.
Okay. Can I offer this?
Understand.
Okay.
Well, I would beg to disagree with you there. I don't think all the people on this show know what it is. They may pretend they do, but they really don't. And I just told you what it was. I told you that black in America historically was poverty and powerlessness. Would you agree with that?
Wait a minute. No.
No.
Yeah, let me say this real quick.
No.
No.
No?
Okay.
So
let's
say
If that's the extent of the definition, I would heartily disagree.
Okay, let me give you another definition. The definition of white in America was privilege and power. Would you agree with that?
No, I think I could add some. I could add some definition points to that too.
But I'm doing a summary, sir. I'm not going through every. I'm not doing an itemization. I'm doing a global.
Sir.
I'm doing a global summary. Power and privilege, that's what represented white.
Summary. I thought you were giving a definition.
Right. I'm doing a summary definition. The summary definition of white in America
and
is power and privilege.
Sir, okay, I understand the concept of summary, and I understand the concept of definition. So
okay, you
I
just
want to
disagree with me.
Definition.
That's okay.
You asked me, your question was, you gave me 2 points on the definition of black, 2 points on the definition of white, and I disagreed with both definitions. But
why do you disagree with the definition of white?
You just suggested, sir, may I finish? You just suggested that this was a summary definition, which
right.
if you had told me it was a summary definition, I wouldn't have disagreed.
Okay, you
but
agree
you
that it's a summary definition.
That it was a complete definition of which
okay,
I
all right, we're fine. Because I'm just hitting the high points. So that's all. Go ahead.
Now, when you talk about white people, you're not hitting the high points. You are hitting points. But when you talk about white people, for me, the points are how they achieve their privilege and power.
Yeah, through any means necessary. Theft, murder.
Exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Malcolm X special, by any means necessary. Or
right,
even,
right,
even
yes, yes.
Or succinctly put, by hook or by crook.
Right, yes. They use the
crook.
Laws to empower themselves at someone else's
if you
expense.
You when you make the law.
Okay, but wait a minute. I'm going toward a solution. Now, the point is now That can be changed. People have rights now. The courts are open to you. This is not the Dred Scott days. The courts are open to you. So, look, my point is, and I want to answer the question that was asked. What was the question that was asked me? I don't want to get too far away from it. But good conversation, though. What question did you ask me?
I think he's cooking. He's cooking, but he was typing in the chat room here. He just wanted him to know or to ask, how does being black contribute to nationhood or not being black? If we're talking about nationhood, that's the framework of the conversation.
Okay.
And if one comes up and says, you don't know what black is, how does that contribute to the concept of nation building, if that's what we want to do?
All right, great. Let me see. First of all, as I said at the outset, it's going to be the ideas. Ideas are transcendent entities that are a pattern for that which is represented ultimately. So the most important thing for any people who want to nation build is to have similar or same or the same ideas. Ideas are the engine. They're the power of cooperation. Proverb says, can two walk together except they be in agreement? And that's a rhetorical question that demands a negative. No.
Hold on. Let me slow you down because I know you got this little thing. You play games with words, and I'm gonna go ahead and get you real quick. So. You know, you got to have similar and same ideas, okay? We were talking about similar and same ideas, and you came in with this thing about what is black, okay? So you tell me again, black to me, it just describes what I am on the outside. It does not describe who I am culturally, okay? And I think everybody was trying to go ahead and tell you that, but you didn't want to hear it. So again,
what about
nationhood and build and nation building, and what do you plan to contribute to it? If you don't, then why are you going ahead messing with me?
Well, first of all, if you guys want to take your marbles and go home, you have a
then
public
ask,
show.
Answer my question. Contribute to it. That's what I'm asking.
Okay, number one, you use the word, and I hear that word used all the time, and the people who use it don't know what it means.
But that's not contributing to nationhood, nation building. And that's basically what the conversation was about.
Nation building will always be about people with similar ideas and interests.
Hey, partner, hold on. It's like, you know, what each one
and
of
where
us...
Where is your nation, by the way? What nation do you have?
You know what? So when do you get the discussion going?
Well, I'm saying, though, no, you can get the discussion going anytime, but what have you built so far?
To get the discussion going. When do you start doing this? We got enough people out here hurt. So what are we doing paying our money to these people for, and we get nothing in return? That's one of the biggest reasons why we're talking about getting our own shit.
Okay, that's ideas, but what have you built so far on your nation? How far are you toward building your nation?
So let me get this straight. With that question is to go ahead and to keep me going in circles, not to contribute to the conversation, but to go ahead and keep
you
going in circles. We have contributed. Hold on. If this nation, and as brutal as it started, they didn't just go ahead and jump on out there. They had a plan. So what we're trying to do is, part of their plan was to get people who thought the same way they did. And that's what we're trying to do at this point, to get people to think the same way we do. So why do you have a problem with that?
I'm familiar with the notion of a fraternity where a bunch of people get together and they emote. And a lot of that is what's taking place.
And so why do you have a problem with that?
Calm down, brother. I was just listening to you guys talk, and someone asked me another question. I'm fine.
Just listen to us talk. You came with that disruption attitude. And
I'm
when
fine
you came
with
in with
whatever you do,
you didn't go ahead and keep
nothing.
The conversation going. You came in with what is black, and then
no,
I
you're
kept
right about
it.
I'm fine with whatever you do.
Came
even
in and you
want to
go ahead and
wrong.
Tell people how you got your academic. Personally, brother,
I don't give a fuck.
You ain't gonna go ahead and contribute to the shit. Then why are you? What are you wasting our time for? contribute to it. This is where we need to confront people like you, let them know, contribute to the shit or get the fuck out the damn way.
Well, I don't think you have a way, first of all. I think you're just emotional.
I'm emotional?
Yeah, just emotional.
You really don't fucking know me.
Do you have an arrest warrant?
If I'm not emotional, so fucking what? I am passionate about what I'm doing. And I know
there's people out here. Record?
He was explaining to you. I know there's people out here dying. And that bugs me. You ain't talking about going ahead and preventing these deaths. You ain't talking about going ahead and preventing people from getting kicked out their home.
Hello.
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 Yeah.
Sound like he went quiet all of a sudden.
Is this the solution there? Yeah, this is Mike. I'm waiting patiently to get a great dialogue you guys are having.
Oh, go ahead and contribute, brother.
Are we live on the air? I guess you guys will put them in a green room.
I believe we're still on the air.
Are we still on the air?
We can hear you. We can hear you. Let me make sure. Yes,
can you hear me?
Yeah, who is that?
I hear Mike. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
Evan Solution. We're on the air because I guess.
Well, I just.
Maybe he dropped his phone.
First of all, I would like to. It's not going to take long, guys. Great conversation, and I just want to, you know, address the topic, how we need to get ourselves together. With me personally, I know me as Mike that if I need to get myself together, other people are going to be involved. That's a fact. First of all, I branch out for myself and my family, and also, you know, with the, you know, children I'm raising and with my community. That's how I help my community. Then I branch out, start at home, and then I branch out. But everything I do for myself, other people are going to be involved. I guarantee it. So I wanted to address the topic of today. Now, what you guys are talking about, this marketing of what's black, well, let's get the definition about black, and I want to address about the nationalism. And I do want to contribute to this. See, when you define that word black and all of that, it doesn't exist. Even describing your color, even saying it destroys the mind. I get a clear picture of what the color black is, but then we want to go and change it and switch it up and call someone else like that. And if you put the color black to any person's skin, I don't care if you get the darkest person in Africa, put the color black to them, I guarantee it's a different color. It's not the same. So even saying that word, it causes division. It has no meaning. Listen to what he gives up there. He gives black as this, and he says no one knows what the meaning of the black. We're calling ourselves something factually that we're not. The mind is crazy. That's why we... Excuse me?
Let me ask you a question. How would you contextualize, like, James Brown saying, I'm black and I'm proud? How would that fit into the context?
Well, the context, he's using, he's describing his work. He's a human being, he's proud. That's what he's a human being, bottom line. See, that causes division. I guarantee you, the words such as black, which we describe ourselves, which has no meaning factually, has no definition, no meaning. That's why you give it multiples, right? I call it a color. Has no meaning when you describe human beings. I guarantee you it divides it, sir. It divides it.
I would disagree in this. Yes, sir, I hear you. Yes, sir.
James Brown, I'm black and I'm proud. I think I can speak to that since I was actually dancing off of it when it came out. At that point in our history, we were niggas, colored, jigaboo, blah, blah, blah. And at that point in our history, actually, the term black was a point of unity. It was a decision made by the black community for the most part.
You can't point a nigga out to me. You can't point a nigga. I guarantee you, I'll challenge anybody on this phone. You can't point a nigga out to me.
I'm talking about a different point in time.
Calling someone something that doesn't.
Can I please finish?
Okay.
I'm talking about this is what we were being called. Now, to our face. How about that?
But
we were actually being called this to our face. We were referred to as nigger to
right.
our face. Okay? We were referred
what did
to
that mean?
As fools.
What did that mean?
Hold on, Mike.
Hold on, Mike. Let me see.
It was a term of derision given to us by those who were in power. And James Brown came along, and this, like I said, this was a point, one of the things sorely needed in the quote-unquote, since it creates so much friction, in the quote-unquote black community, this was a term of unity. That's the only thing it was, as opposed to what everyone else was calling us. We decided to use this term, black. And that's where the term, you know, thoroughly agree with you. We don't contain all colors in our skin, which is what black physically is. And when I say physically, I'm talking about as far as physics. Black is the presence of all color. And we do
exactly,
not have that
exactly.
in our skin.
And white is
white
too, right,
is
sir?
The absence of all color. And they
no,
don't
no,
have that
not.
In their skin. Yes,
sir.
Oh, yes, it is.
Sir, in class, listen.
Scientific perspective.
Okay, listen.
White
okay.
is the
Can I give you a story?
Of all color. Huh?
Of all light colors, sir. Listen, without black, you could not see white. That's a fact. And when I'm in IT, sir. On your computer screen, the reason why you see
well,
white, you're right. Hold on. I just want to say something. You're right. Because, sir, I've said this in class, sir. I'm speaking facts, sir. Listen. When you said the black consists of all colors, you're right. And I'm letting you know also white is the also consists of all light colors. That's a fact. That's the only way you can see it. That's a fact, sir. So I'll go now. Now you can go and fill it.
What was
sir.
That fact again?
We can debate that. But let's go into the other culture, though. But let's go
no,
somewhere
no, no.
else.
I didn't hear you. White is what?
White consists of all light colors, sir. You will not be able to see white if you
consists of all what?
You will not be able to see, but consists of all light colors.
The lightest of all light colors
is white. That's a fact. The darkest of all dark colors is black, sir. You're right, and all that makes all colors, sir. That's a fact.
Well,
I agree with you. So you
cannot
agree with
that.
That's a fact. No, I'm letting you know, look, I represent the all facts show. This is the fact, sir. I agree with you about that. But let's go about with it. I'm letting you know full fact. White is also that, too, sir. But when you listen, we're talking about colors. See, this is how they destroy our minds.
Saying,
it divides people.
White
you call people that. No, I'm not. I said they consist of all colors. That's a fact. I'm stating the fact, sir. You said black consists of all colors. I say white consists of all colors too, sir. That's a fact.
You can't have one without the other, sir. How do you come to?
Because you can't have one without the other, sir. Because you have two sides of a different spectrum, sir. And everything comes in between it, sir. That's a fact.
I mean, just because
you can't have one without the beginning.
Okay. Just because you can't have one without the other does not mean that they are the same. And what
I never said they were
and
the
what
same.
What I'm saying
I'm
is
saying,
they are polar opposites.
Listen, okay, listen. Okay, you're saying opposites. Okay, and I'm saying the fact of...
Hey, hold it, Mike.
I'll be quiet, though.
That is my thing, Mike.
Please.
I'm going to give it to you, too. Okay.
This is how they divide us. We're talking about color. This is how they divide us.
Hold on, Mike. What each one of us can do to make it. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Hello.
I have a question, Mike.
Yes. Well,
this is where we were going with that. What we each one of us can do to make it in this nation, to go ahead and make our own nation. And I know that you kind of like Sister Solutions want to go ahead and disagree with that whole premise about nationhood, nation building.
Okay.
Don't
well,
you?
First of all. If you want to make your own nation, this is what you got to do. Now, I don't agree with this, but I'm just saying. I hear people say you want
to
make your own nation.
Get to it. We ain't got much time.
Okay, now listen, I just want to say something real quick. If you want to make your own nation, save your money up, okay, go buy that cheap African land, go to the embassy and renounce yourself. But when you talk about you want to make your own nation and you want to have dual citizenship and still have that American status, you're playing with yourself. You're trying to cut cards and saying you hate America, you hate the society because it's a benefit
to being
American. Okay,
stop.
Now,
right.
Now,
no, Mike, okay. Hold on. I don't like muting nobody. If y'all notice that, I don't like doing that. So give me some goddamn respect. My thing is this. That's not true, okay, because Israelis do that shit every fucking day. They over in Israel, and they come over here voting. Alexis over here voting and fighting in the Israeli army to go ahead and kill Arabs. So that's what you said was not true, okay? And I kept trying to tell you that before. But here's my thing here. You cannot go ahead and make it in this motherfucker unless you got a nation backing you. And the Israelis know that. Italians know that shit. The French know that stuff. They come over and call themselves an American all fucking day, but they can still go back home. And you need to go ahead and recognize that shit instead of talking this nonsense about you are an American. And
no
you ain't
one
got shit in America.
No one is stopping me from Africa. No one. This government is not stopping Michael from trading from Africa. I talk to Bianchi all the time.
Wait, I ain't talking about you. You ain't talking to Bianchi right now. You're talking to me. Hold on, Mike. Listen up.
Okay, I'm sorry. Listen, nothing is taking me from taking $500 and investing it in the Bank of Nigeria.
I don't know what that got to do with this conversation, but I'm going to get to it and I'm going to tell you again.
No, I'm just talking about nothing that's stopping me, though, Rob.
Look,
and
Mike,
I'm just
that
saying
ain't
is...
Listen to me.
I'm going to listen to you.
My thing is this. When brothers want to get together, and this is what that other brother came on, then Brother AC and Covina, man, the conversation that veered off about was when we go ahead and get to talking about nationhood, we got so many people want to come by and say, hey, look, it's a stupid idea. Why you want to do that? And I got a clip, and hopefully I can fucking find it. And when it talks about that, when Malcolm X is talking about, hey, look, why you want to leave this great, why you want to leave America? This great white land, now where are you going to get a better job than this? You know, so he goes on and talks about, basically what he's telling you is, what the hell you want to go ahead and leave all this shit bullshit for and go ahead and live peacefully? Take this bullshit. That's what I got.
You're going to have to make American money first, though.
You don't
That's
have to.
That's why you want dual citizenship.
Oh, you don't have to. Well, brother, it's just a simple word, carb butter. That's it.
No, that's what Farrakhan Nation is on. See, they haven't left yet. They still in America, still sitting there, their children, their grandkids still to American schools. But if you take American money on Africa, I live in
Mike,
the world.
Mike,
time. It's about,
Mike, ain't
I
nobody
mean,
trying to go ahead and follow no. Look, man, look, it's so many people who laid the path, right? Who put the information out there, so many books, did all kinds of stuff. You can go ahead. We can take a little bit by little bit from everybody and put something else and go ahead and make it.
But what nationalism are you talking about, having a separate nation within America? See, that's a contradiction because if you have a separate nation in America, you...
Hey, hold on. Let me
stop.
I'm
going to
mute your ass in a minute. You got a fucking cup. Hold on. There's a separate nation in America, right? There's separate nations in America right now as we fucking speak. You're going to tell me that you can go ahead and live amongst white folks? And go ahead, buy amongst shit amongst white folks? Are you going to tell me that black CEOs and black corporations out here doing the same thing as GM and all these other motherfuckers?
No, I say the clusterfuck.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. These fuckers are doing that shit. That's a whole nother thing. Romney even fucking said he's doing this fucking when he's running for president his last trip, talking about the 47% ain't going to go with him. What the fuck do you think he was talking about? It's the us and them fucking
98% of your money comes from Caucasians. 90% of all people on this phone money come from Caucasians.
That ain't got nothing to do with the
United States.
Right? That's got absolutely nothing to
do.
Because it's their money, right?
That has a great deal to do with everything.
There's 10 million Caucasian millionaires in this country, and the zone is less than 36 million, 36,000.
And they got their own fucking system. That's my point. They got their own goddamn system.
Okay, but they have laws, though.
Yeah, Rob,
what's stopping you?
In my zone, homie.
Go ahead, AC.
What's stopping you from making your corporation?
I keep telling you, you're in the belly of the beast. Anything you do in the belly of the beast feeds the beast.
I,
Hold on a minute. I'm going to ask you a question. You're telling me this. Are you telling me, Michael, don't start a business in this country?
Hey, hold on.
What?
AC, check this out. When you tell Mike, tell him, don't tell him too much, but tell him, don't I have my papers done for my corporation? Yes or no?
You're after me?
Yeah, you
ready to roll.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell Mike. Things can be done. I understand we're in the belly of the beast. We got to play this game while we're here. I ain't got no problem with that.
Greg,
I'm not stupid. I'd have been halfway around this planet. I know that.
Do you know Gray from Chicago, Farrar Gray? He is the son of Khalid Muhammad. You know Khalid Muhammad, Farrakhan's right-hand man. He passed away. Khalid Muhammad was, you know, just on the second line of the Nation of Islam. Okay? Talk about that. His son come from Chicago South and was selling rocks, brother. Door to door.
Hold up now.
I'm looking at facts. Now, his father was an activist. Now, he made a mark in this country. His son, Khalid Muhammad's son, Southside Chicago. Look him up. Great. Go ahead. Now, I'm going to go ahead and mute myself and listen to y'all now.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Taylor, your mouth is open.
Mike, I just want to ask you one question. What's the factual basis for the discussion we were having about the colors black and white? What's your factual basis for white being basically the same as black?
Don't put words in my mouth. So I respect you, and I'm glad you brought that up, because when you said that, a lot of people don't know that. But when you said that, but listen to what I said. You keep on saying to my saying, I'm speaking facts about both of the colors. And I said, you can't have one. Factually, you can't have one without the other. Factually, right? They're the opposite of the spectrum, right? Because it's something, right, exactly. So you said that black consists of all colors, and I'm making a statement because it consists of all dark colors. That's why it's black. It's all colors. And I said white also consists of all color, all light colors. That's a fact, sir.
Now you're
spoke a factual thing about both black and white, and you're telling me that I'm saying it's the same. Because
why do you say it's a fact, though? Where do you get your information?
Because you can see it, sir. It's a fact. For you to make that dark lighter, aren't you going to have to use some white? That's a fact.
I don't want to argue with you. I heard what you said, okay?
Okay, so that's my answer to your question, sir.
You said,
and just like you can see the dark is, you can prove it too, sir. And so you can prove it. And plus you can prove it on your computer screen, sir. I'm an IT. I'm not playing no games with you.
I would disagree with the concept of it being opinion. Like I said before.
No, it's not an opinion, sir. It's a fact.
The reasons I gave you for my statement, Mike, can I talk now? It's going to be very short. The reasons I gave you for my opinion were physical reasons, which means my reasons were based on physics, okay? The physics of color is the presence of all colors, every color. Makes up black. If it were possible, I'm talking about every color of the spectrum. I'm not talking about hues. I'm not talking about tints. I'm talking about every color of the color spectrum. If you add all of those colors, you get black. If you remove all those colors, you get white.
Rob, can I just take 10 seconds?
I didn't come up with this off of somebody, off of my observation. I came up with this because it was written as a physical law. Now, I don't know what you're distinguishing, but I'm going to follow the physical law.
Hold on, AC, hold on. Okay. Hey, Brother Kayla, you there?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up, man? You got something to add to this conversation?
No, not that, but I just want to say a couple of things. When we talk about naturehood, the brothers talk about, well, you know, you're being hypocritical, this, that, and the other thing. First of all, the whole was saying a while ago on his YouTube channel, this idea of naturehood has been completely abandoned and co-opted by the wrong people and stuff like that. What we've been experiencing for the last 60 years since the end of World War II is integration. You know, we threw out our buckets and we basically wanted to join American society and everything. So therefore, when we look at the state of Black America, please don't blame people who are real nationalists. I'm not talking about these people that are basically fake people. You want to know real nationalists, myself, Olaf, and a few other people and everything like that. There's only a handful of us out here, you know. But our ideology is so potent and everything, it's resonating with a lot of people. And the people that is resonating with, I'm finding out, are the educated Black people, young Black people who are in college and everything, say, yeah, we can really do this. We can make it go. They're studying geopolitics. They're studying trends. They're looking at other examples around the world, like Israel, they will say, Singapore. All these countries, there's population shifts around the world going on. Singapore is trying to buy land in Africa for its people. China is trying to buy land in Detroit for its people. But they're organized. They got an organism. They got a home base. It's called China. It's called Singapore. It's called Israel. What we're saying in Black America is this. Only thing we are right now is a disorganized group of people, a trillion-dollar economy that we do not benefit from. What we are saying basically is this. If we had our own land, our own state, our own government, which is legitimate, the whole entire world would accept that and basically get on board. Because everybody that has ever been in our situation, we're the only group of people that basically let another group of people enslave us, do all stuff like that, never paid us reparations, never paid at the time, and got away with one of the biggest mass murders in human history, the cultural genocide. All these things basically make the case for action for nationhood. Now, we're not saying that go out here and kill cracker and all stuff like that. See, we want to separate ourselves from those people. So please don't put us on. I'm not a separatist. I'm not anybody. I go in the community, I see Black and white people getting together. It's not my place to go tell them, no, you need to be with us. I'm saying that those of us who want an independent nation, we say that's there. If you don't want to be a part of this, hey, that's fine. Keep doing what you're doing. If you like what you're doing, hey, fine. But if you want to join us and see this is vital, and you see this having a nation that will back you up anywhere in the world, and that's something you can support, hey, you know, hey, you don't have to be a part of it. You can basically be supporting it by basically saying, you know something, I may never go there, but, hey, look, I wouldn't mind having my son go over there and join the military. I wouldn't mind having my daughter go over there and meet a nice brother who's basically civilized. Or I wouldn't mind raising my family over there because, like, it's an option. Right now we have no other option but to sit in America and cold catch up and take whatever the man gives us. And that's the truth. You know, we don't have any control over the context and the culture context of what we live in. We don't control the culture. They can put anything out there on VH1, BET, and everything to manipulate our people, turn thugs, turn our girls into ratchet hood rats and everything like that. We have absolutely no control of our culture right now, nothing. When you have your own nation, you can define this is what we are because you control the media, you control the culture, and the most important thing is you control reward and punishment. No group of people that can call themselves civilized that does not have control over reward and punishment. Right? That means you set the norms, you set the customs, you set the mores, all those things that you define yourself by and sustain yourself by is what you have. This is the reason why we have gangs. This is why we have kids dropping out. This is why we have all these freaking problems because somebody else, we don't know who we are. We're sitting in a country that rejects us, and we don't know where to go. You know, so therefore, those of us who are nation building, nation like this, leave us alone. Let us do our thing. Now, if you have something to add to that, please, you know, we would like to see that. But the idea that we should just forget about this thing and do this, that's simply out of the question. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate all that. Anybody want to add to what that brother just said?
Yeah.
Go ahead, KB.
When we do build our nation, please don't use anything from the blueprint of what this country has done.
Please.
Yes, sir.
You can build a nation. I think it's quite possible. I think it's a necessity, as a matter of fact.
It ain't a possibility. It's going to happen. You know, the bottom line, it's a long year's coming. It's a sleeping giant. Nationhood has been a sleeping giant in Black America, the only card we've never played. And now more and more people are saying basically, yes, it's time to do it. You know, how that nation will look, hey, we won't know until we get on the ground and we look at other systems around the world and bring our most educated and best and the brightest to achieve it. You know, it's going to be nothing like what we see in America, because America was designed basically, America never took into consideration minority groups and everything like that. America had in mind a white country and everything. That's why we're having these problems. You know, if you could assimilate, and America's the only country, Western country in the Western Hemisphere, unlike Brazil and Canada, where you have different groups of people. You still got French Canadians, you got Portuguese in Canada, you have all these groups of people that still retain their culture. America has a process of assimilation and the melting pot. But the only thing that America doesn't know how to assimilate is people of color. You know, the great melting pot means if you're Irish, Dutch, German, everything, you can eventually become American, and that's it. And keep some of your culture if you want to. But in Brazil and all these other countries, you still got Germans in Brazil after like 150 years. You still got Germans in Canada. You still got French Canadians. You got Germans. You got Anglicans. You have Portuguese, all these other people. There was an assimilation process. America was deliberately designed to create a white country. You know, so basically, you cannot reconcile that. You cannot reconcile the fact that you're a minority group in a country that's hell bent on being staying white. So therefore, that's what I have to say.
Yeah, this Covina, man. That was a good conversation. I hope we can continue that. You know, even when we disagree, at least we rather disagree with clarity than just, you know, sit there and argue. And I think that the clarity at least brought it in, that, you know, Mr. Solution and Mike brought in, where we can distinguish what it is we're talking about so that, you know, people aren't ambiguous about what it is we're talking about. And I think the brothers answered, you know, all those questions, I think, quite fairly. So it was a great conversation.
Well, let me just say that you said even if we disagree, I'd like to say especially when we disagree. I mean, because this is a very difficult that we're trying to take on here. This is not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. So if you have a point and you consider your point valid and you're willing to back it up regardless of all those who may say against you. Then, you know, you're the kind of strong person that this situation is going to need in order for it to succeed. I thoroughly enjoy the conversations, although I wish my cousin Chef Rob would calm the fuck down before he mess around and have a stroke. But other than that, you know, I look forward to it. Hello, y'all guys going overtime?
I gotta go to the gun range, man. So y'all take it easy. Have a good weekend. I need to go shoot some
projects. Yeah, black and white is the same, y'all. All color consists of all colors. And remember, you gave the definition of white. You used the word all colors in it, bro. You can't have no bias. Look at the facts. Y'all take it easy, guys.
Hold on, brother. We can stick around for a little bit longer. Brother, come in, man. You gonna dip off?
Hello?
Yeah, I gotta go to the gun range.
Man. Oh, I thought Chef Rob said he's gonna leave.
Hello?
Yeah, brother.
Hey, you can go ahead and step, man. Thanks for stepping in for me, brother. Appreciate that.
All right, brother. I'll see you next week.
Okay, yeah, peace. Hey, Mr. Holocism, your line is open. I heard you.
Okay. I'm here. Yeah, I was saying, man, I love you and Carla, man. You're my brothers from another mother.
Yeah, same here, brother.
Thank you, brother.
I can't even understate how much I appreciate y'all guys, because I feel like a lot of times I'm out here by myself.
Oh, yeah, I feel.
You know, so when I hear y'all, it's like fuel for my soul, for real.
Let me say this real quick. I am passionate about this. I heard you, AC. I'm going to come down and talk to you in a minute. I heard you. You know damn well I'm passionate about this. I get sick of the shit that you know what we see here. I get sick of this whole shit. It buzzed the fuck out of me. And then I hear people say nonsense, and I'll be like, man, you know, wake up. What the hell does it take for you to go ahead and see the forest for the trees? Stop paying attention to that, man. Sometimes, okay,
well,
I do
see,
go ahead and get it.
Some people that I hear like that say don't vote at all, don't be political system. That's why it's like okay, you want to go do this? Do you want me to be a part of the system to try to make a change, to try to vote and be an activist, or do you want me to say forget the system and don't? This is because when they define the system, what are you talking about? I understand we talk about crooked politicians because they're human beings. I know they're greedy. But do I have a power to change it, and where can I change it? Some people say we don't have a power to change it. So
if
you tell me I don't have a power to change it, what the fuck do I do? Just sit on my ass and don't do nothing?
Let me put it to you this way. It's sort of like me going ahead and putting together, getting a cardboard box, and it's got pieces on all sides. And
oh man, Rob got cut off again.
Yeah, dang, Rob. So
what? Chef Rob got cut off? I'm still here.
Oh, okay. You was talking and then you got cut.
No, Chef Rob was talking. Did he get cut off
in his show? I think Rob got cut off because he was talking and then he just got. Yeah.
This is initially.
I just wanted. I was going to tell Chef Rob, hey, look, you can't expect anybody to see this situation through anything but the eyes that they have. I mean, you know, everybody's sight is different. We're all individuals in this,
we're all trying to deal.
It's like the five blind men fielding on the elephant. Every last one of us is feeling something different.
What
is the highest
you have,
though? When everything is said and done, we're all dealing with an elephant, a big elephant, that's trying to trample every last one of us.
It ain't as hard as you think, bro.
It's not as hard as you think. A whole benign, there's a lot of people that's out there organizing, making this stuff happen, you know? You know, it's just happening.
You know what makes it hard?
Everywhere.
You know what makes it hard? I call it ideological quicksand. It's just people is into just muddying the water with bullshit. You know, this is real simple. It's not that difficult at all. The concept is really, really simple. You know, as far as changing this system, I don't want to – like, I want my own shit.
What system would I have your old shit, though, sir? I would have asked you this.
Let me ask you something, sir. What system are you in now?
Well,
Whose system are you in now?
I'm in a system that human beings control, sir.
What human beings?
Human beings that live.
We ain't controlling nothing.
The same human beings that we look in our history books and all was told.
What human beings is not us? We not controlling shit in this society.
What do you mean? Okay, and who's controlling shit in any society around the world?
The person who controls the context and the infrastructure of the society. You made a statement that white people have 90% of the wealth. That makes perfect sense if you control the context.
When you get your geographical line, how is that system going to be run, sir?
How is this system run?
No. Forget this. I'm talking about this new national thing. Let's say all of us on the phone, we got our separate land. We got what we want now. I want to talk to you now. Just some questions.
Okay.
Because you want people to come to this nation and stuff. I want to talk to you. You're in charge. How is it going to be?
No, I don't want. First of all, let's correct that. I don't want people to come to nothing that they don't want to come to.
Okay, but let's just.
If you want to stay in America and try to be equal with white folks, then you can do that all you want to.
You're avoiding the question, sir. Look, come on, let's have a dialogue.
No, but don't put words in my mouth.
You have the land.
I'm not trying to convince nobody of nothing.
No, I'm saying we have the land now. I'm going to show what type of system or structure that you're going to have to keep things in order, and I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to all of you.
Can I?
Why is this? You know, that question is intriguing to me.
Why? Because
and
listen, you say we all have to get together on one. Okay,
so that,
listen,
that, I'm really intrigued by that question. Because
why not?
Let me explain why I'm intrigued by it.
Why not?
Can I explain why I'm intrigued by that question?
Okay.
Because you're living in a society right now with an infrastructure. You're dealing in a society right now with
you
gas. You're dealing with a, you're in a society
I'm
right now with electricity.
About that.
You're dealing in a society right now with roads and highways. You got to irrigate. So then what is black folks creating another society, some like Martian thing? Is this like some alien concept?
Oh, no, I'm asking you, sir. Now, look, first of all, I ask you the question, and I want to hear y'all. Listen, at least let me ask you, at least answer my question first, sir.
Like, this is Mr. Solution. May I speak?
Okay. Okay.
You're asking a good question, Mike. He doesn't have an answer.
Exactly.
I understand the question
that's
you're asking.
The problem. That's why we're not going nowhere, guys.
You understand where
I don't have an answer.
Right, you don't have an answer.
That's very presumptuous of you, don't you think?
But in Gibson, what is the answer?
The answer is, how is any other nation organizing?
That's not an answer, that's a question.
That's an answer, that is an answer.
No, you're the thinker. You're the activist.
So you want me to go there? So what, you want me to pick which nut and which